word.
Today I'm doing the first part of a message that I will be preaching continuing next week. And I've titled it Bold Steps. This is part one of Take Bold Steps. And it is a command. It is not a suggestion that after you've experienced so much of God, after we have experienced so much of God, we have to take bold steps. When you come to think of it, as you look through the Bible, you realize that everyone that God used had to take a bold step. They had to act boldly. The people who experienced the power of God in the days of Jesus Christ had to act boldly. If you think of Noah, you think of Abraham, you think of Joseph, think of David, Daniel, Esther, all of them in the Bible, each one of them at a certain point in their lives had to act boldly, even though they knew that God had already given them the victory. And we see it in the days of Jesus, the people who came to Jesus, who had an encounter with him, each one of them had to take a bold step. The blind man who had clay on his eyes and was told to go and wash in the pool had to go boldly. He had to be bold. How do you manage it when you can't see? The assignment you've been given requires seeing. And yet he boldly went and washed the clay off his eyes and he came seeing. The man who was in the temple with a withered hand for many years was told by Jesus, stretch out your hand. He had to be bold to do that. The woman with the issue of blood had to boldly press through in order to receive her miracle. The Syrophoenician woman would not quit and boldly and continuously made a demand on the power of Jesus Christ on behalf of her daughter. So, after all that you have experienced in 40 days of power, after all that we receive during greater works, and we talk about it as a great visitation, everybody is excited about what God has done amongst us, what's left for us is to act boldly. Somebody say, I'm going to be bold. Okay, this is this trial. Somebody say, I'm going to be bold. We're going to be bold. And today we're going to focus on Moses and the children of Israel and how they had to boldly step out into freedom. And our text is based on that. And we're going to read two passages from two different books of the Bible, talking about the same thing, but presenting it from different points of view. Exodus chapter 14, verse 8. And then later on, we would look at Numbers chapter 33, verses 1 and 3. Exodus chapter 14, verse 8. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with boldness. Now, I want you to pay attention to that word, boldness. And the children of Israel went out with boldness. Then Numbers chapter 33, verses 1 to 3. It talks about the similar account, but gives us a context that I think is helpful for us. Numbers chapter 33 from 1 to 3. These are the journeys of the children of Israel who went out of the land of Egypt by the armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron. I want you to note the phrase under the hand of Moses and Aaron. I'll come back to it later. Now, Moses wrote down the starting points of their journeys at the command of the Lord. And these are their journeys according to their starting points. They departed from Ramses in the first month, on the 15th day of the first month, on the day after the Passover. The children of Israel went out with boldness in the sight of all the Egyptians. Now, if you look at both passages from Exodus and from the book of Numbers, they are describing the same thing that happened after Israel stepped out of Egypt. And both of them, or both accounts, use the word boldness. Everybody say boldness. Oh, say it like you're bold. Boldness, boldness, boldness. Both of them went out with boldness. So, and that's what we are talking about today. So I just want to let us look at the word boldness, or to be bold. Boldness. And it comes from the Hebrew word yad. Yad, if you were spelling it in English, it would be Y-A-D. And it means a clenched fist. The word literally means hand. And so the word that is translated as bold simply is hand. Now the question is, how can a word that means hand now come to be translated as boldness? Now, if you look at the passage we read in Numbers chapter 33, I said I'll come back to it, so I'm going back to it. And it says in Numbers 33, verse 1, these are the journeys of the children of Israel who went out of the land of Egypt by their armies under the hand of Moses. The word hand there, that's our English word, but in the Hebrew Bible, the same word, yad, hand, is what is later translated as bold. So they went out under the hand of Moses, and later the same word is translated as bold. Why is that so? Because the Hebrew language is a language of images. It's a picture language. So when a word is used, the word always conjures a picture, and they speak in pictures. So the word yad in this context means a hand that is clenched like this, raised. Most people who are a little politically inclined would have encountered what they call the Black Power salute, you know, especially during the civil rights movement in the United States. Most blacks who were resisting oppression or trying to claim their rights would lift up their hand, stretch out with their fist out. They were doing exactly what that scripture is talking about, a clenched fist. During the apartheid era, the ANC used to use that fist. Nelson Mandela, when he came out of prison, just raised his hand in a fist. And that is what that word means in the Hebrew. It is a hand that is lifted up in a fist, a clenched fist. And the Bible says the children of Israel went out of Egypt literally with a clenched fist. With a clenched fist. So what were they saying? What does it mean? What does the word yad mean in this context? What does the word boldness mean? First, it means defiance. Defiance, open resistance. So the people of Israel, when God set them free, were very defiant. Moses and Aaron left Egypt with defiance. They defied the power of Pharaoh. They openly resisted the power of the enemy. They refused to surrender. And they did that even though Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Defiance. The second definition of boldness is confidence. Having a self-assurance that God is who he says he is to you. And as Christians, our confidence is in the Lord. Our confidence is in what God has told us. Our confidence is in what God has put in our hearts. Our confidence It's in the fact that if God says we can do it, we can do it. So when they were going out, they went out with a spirit of resistance or defiance, and they went out with confidence. The third word that defines boldness is power, the ability to do, the ability to do. So when we say that somebody has boldness, it means they are defiant, they are confident, and they have a sense of power. They don't feel weak in themselves. Now, normally in our Ghanaian culture, I'm sure in many other cultures, anybody who is bold is called troublesome. Is that not so? If the person is timid, not bold, not confident, gets bullied and accepts the bullying, gets beaten and accepts the beating, has no sense of power, we call them a good boy. I remember years ago, many, many years ago, the church was quite young at that time, and somebody I had known in the past, an old schoolmate of mine, came to me and said, "Pastor, your church, I have a brother. I want him to become a pastor in your church." That's fine. We all always want pastors. So she proceeded to describe her brother. And she says, as we say in Fanti or Akan, Nehuju. Nehuju. It means he is cool. He doesn't shake himself. Whatever you tell him, he will do it. He doesn't cause trouble. He's been my brother. He doesn't cause trouble. Whatever you tell him, he will do it. He doesn't shake himself. He's like Osofu. He's pastor material because he's timid. And I said, maybe some churches want that kind of a person as pastor. But if you're going to be a pastor to lead God's people, you cannot be a timid person. You have to be bold. You have to be assertive. You have to know who you are, because you are a leader of people. Who wants a leader who is timid? No. But many of us, what we call a good person is the opposite of bold. Our children who are bold, we think they are troublesome. The ones who are timid, they are the good ones. There is a value in being respectful. There is a value in being courteous. There is a value in being civil, being considerate of people. Boldness does not mean you are not courteous. Boldness means that you know who you are and you are confidently going for what you must go for. And if we're going to become the people that God has called us to be, then we have to be like the Israelites when they left Egypt. The Bible says they went out with boldness. Literally, with their hand lifted up, saying, "We defy you, Pharaoh. We're going out whether you like it or not." When God inspires us to do something, we must step out boldly to do it. When God inspires you to do something, you must step out boldly to do it. If it is of God, it requires boldness, because nothing of God can be accomplished with timidity. There is no way that you can please God by being timid or fearful or cowardly. If you're going to obey God, you have to be bold. Doesn't mean you are disrespectful. Doesn't mean you don't regard people's feelings. It doesn't mean you don't have empathy. It simply means that you know who you are and you are so sure of who you are and what God wants for you that you go for it with all your strength. That's what boldness is about. And that's what each one of us must do after we've had an encounter with God, especially at greater works. We have to be bold. And I'm going to talk very soon about four ways that we have to do that. But let's go back to our scriptures again, because I want us to relate what I'm going to say, or what I'm saying, to the text. Exodus 14, verse 8. Listen to it again. And the Lord hardened the heart of the king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with boldness. Pharaoh's heart is hardened. Pharaoh is pursuing. The people are bold. That's what the passage is saying. Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He is pursuing. He has not stopped pursuing. He's not become kind. He's not become gentle. He's not become a good guy. He's still a bad guy. He still wants them in bondage, but they go with boldness, with a clenched fist. And then the second text in Numbers, verse 3, chapter 11, Numbers 11, verse 3. And they departed from Ramses in the first month, on the 15th day of the first month, on the day after the Passover, the children of Israel went out with boldness in the sight of all the Egyptians. Note that phrase. In the sight of all the Egyptians. In other words, the people were watching them, and still they were bold. Because many of us are bold in secret. Most people's boldness is on Facebook. When they register a false name, then they are bold to say what they want to say. But the moment you find them, they are very timid. It's like what happens when masses of people, sometimes students, are going on demonstration until you catch one of them. Then you realize that their confidence was in the numbers, but internally, they had no confidence. And many of us only have boldness when we are in a group, but we are never bold as individuals. But remember this, life will not attack you in a group. Your problems are not group problems. Your problems are individual, personal problems. If your boldness only comes when you are in a group, then what happens when you have private problems? It's good to be confident with people, but life is lived as an individual. We never live life in groups. We live it as individuals. So four things I want you to take home today. One, we must act boldly after we have had an encounter with God. We must act boldly after we have had an encounter with God. The children of Israel stepped out in boldly after the Passover. That's what the passage said. They did it after the Passover. What happened after the Passover? The angel of God protected them. They saw the hand of God. They saw the angel of death going through the land. They heard cries of destruction in the Egyptian houses, and their homes were saved. Pharaoh had trouble, and they had peace in their home. The power of God was real to them. And when you've seen so much of the power of God, you cannot be timid any longer. If you believe, you pray for 40 days and you had greater works and God visited you, you cannot be timid. After a visitation of God, you must be bold. Somebody say, I'm bold. Don't sit under the anointing. Don't experience a divine visitation and walk back, slink away, like somebody who has never encountered God. If you encounter God,
you must be bold. After you've had an experience with God, you must be bold. The second thing, we must act boldly even if we have a history of failure. The children of Israel had a history of failure. 430 years they had been in bondage. Every time they've tried to break free from Egypt, Pharaoh had made their life worse. When anybody comes and says, I'm going to be a deliverer, Pharaoh punishes the people. Even when Moses came on the scene, Pharaoh made their life worse. In other words, nobody has been able to break out of Egypt. But they decided, although our history is a history of failure, in this generation, we will be bold. Your past, the record of your past, the record experiences of what didn't happen yesterday is not a prediction of what will not happen tomorrow. Just because it didn't happen yesterday does not mean God will not do it for you tomorrow. So I don't know what history you are dealing with. Israel was dealing with 430 years history of failure. Ghana is dealing with only 67 years of a history of failure. Short term. Compare 67 years to 430. If the people who had 400 years of failure could act boldly, then we who have had 67 years of failure, we can act bolder. And don't tell me it didn't happen 10 years ago, it didn't happen 20 years ago, it didn't happen, so it can never happen. No! It didn't happen 10 years ago for Israel. It didn't happen 40 years ago. It didn't happen 100 years ago. It didn't happen 200 years ago. It didn't happen 300 years ago. And still, one night after an encounter with God, they decided, we're getting up and we are going out. Your past failures, the history of your life, the history of your family, the history of your bloodline, the history of everything you have gone through from the day you were born. None of us here is 430 years. You are probably 60 years. You are 70 years. You are 30 years. You are 25 years. Somebody say, I'm bold.
I'm bold.
And we are bold even if we have a history of failure. We are bold because this is a new visitation from God. This is a new day in our lives, and we are bold to step out. Number three, we must act boldly even if the enemy still looks intimidating. If you want the enemy to be kind to you, you'll never be bold. Pharaoh still has a hardened heart. Pharaoh is still pursuing. And the people said, we are still living with clenched fist. They said, we're walking out of here. We're not afraid of your anger. We're not afraid of your tantrums. We're not afraid of your threats. We're not afraid of your armies. We're not afraid of your chariots. We're not afraid of your horses. Our hands are lifted up. In defiance, we're walking out of here. Somebody, God is telling you, the problem will not get easier. The world will not get better. Your enemies will not like you. Circumstances may not improve, but you have improved. You have improved. You are the improvement. The situation did not improve, but God improved you. He improved your spirit. He improved your capacity. He improved your strength. He improved his grace. He improved the anointing upon you. And because you are an improved version of who you used to be, you are greater than who you used to be. You can do better than what you used to do. So though the intimidation is there, we're still bold. B, Though we are scared in our hearts, we will not show the enemy we are scared. I may be crying in secret, but I will not cry publicly. Because I'm fighting an intimidating enemy, and he will not see my tears. I'm going to win this battle. I'm going to overcome in this battle. I'm going to succeed in this battle. That must be our attitude. I'm not going to act like a defeated person. I'm not going to look around and say, oh, nobody likes me in the world. Everybody hates me. And so what? Love yourself. Love yourself. Because in life, you live it one at a time. It's not like going to the market where you tell your friend, I'm going to the market, ladies. You tell your friend, I'm going to, come and let's go. I'm going to a funeral, come and let's go. I've been invited to a party, come and let's go. In life, there's no come and let's go. If it hits you, it hits you alone. And you have to face it alone. And you have to be bold alone. And you have to determine, I will win this battle. Whether it's a battle of poverty, it's a battle of whatever it is, I will win this battle. I will not be poor. I will not be disgraced. I will not be dishonored. I will not be begging. I defy poverty. Okay, I think you like poverty. I defy poverty. I defy it. I defy poverty. Every need, every lack. My children will not beg. Landlords will not eject me. I defy that. I will build my house. I will own my house. And you don't say that because Pharaoh has changed his heart. And you don't say that because the situation has changed. In the presence of Pharaoh, you still raise up your clenched fist. And you say, I am going to fight this. And I'm going to win this. Yeah.